Cystic fibrosis is a crippling genetic disorder that causes problems in the lungs, often generating increased secretions, difficulty breathing, and higher incidence of infections. CF can also impact the digestive system, reducing the transfer of nutrients to the body, which can impact growth. On November 14th, the Tennessee chapter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation is hosting Three Blind Wines, a wine tasting fundraiser for cystic fibrosis. I spoke with the mother of a CF child about how his disorder changed their family. Last year, I interviewed Ginger Birnbaum about her infant son that had recently been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. We returned to the conversation 1 year later to revisit her family.
My husband, Alex, and I have two children, Emma Virginia, who is 4 and a half. She's in preschool, and King, who is 22 months old. Emma Virginia is a very active little girl, very theatrical, and King is a busy little boy growing into his full 22 months. And he has cystic fibrosis, so he requires a little bit of extra care throughout the day.
The last time we spoke about him was almost a year ago, and a lot of what you were dealing with at the time was this infant that had these special needs. Well, at 22 months now, he's not necessarily in a crib all day, is he?
No. He's all over the place now, all over me, all over the furniture. And he has proven to be just a typical 22-month-old little boy that requires some extra care and requires us to really fight for him and to fight for him to overcome this disease of cystic fibrosis. And I think what's most interesting about what he's proven to us is a year ago when we spoke, we were absolutely terrified of what a year would do to us, what a year would do to him, the devastation to his body, to his lungs. But as long as we keep up with his treatments, we stay on top of it, we're very proactive, he leads a pretty typical life outside of these extra things that we have to do for his disease.
When he was much smaller, he needed care for hours every day in terms of the medications, the percussives, and everything you needed to do to keep him breathing and keep him clear. Has that reduced somewhat as he ages?
No, in fact, we over the last year have picked up some new treatments for him, and we expect that maybe through time that will happen as well. I think the difference is when you have an infant and you're in the shock of the diagnosis of a disease like this, and you're doing so many hours of treatment a day and so much focus on it, it seems like more when they're younger. Now we still do as many hours of respiratory therapy a day. But it's just part of our life. I mean, it's just what we do. We feel like it doesn't really get in the way of our quality of life because the way that we approach it. And we really just try to make it something that our family does. We welcome our daughter in the room so she doesn't get left out if she happens to be home. And we've just blended it into our routine so that we can handle it the best way that we know.
Well, I know the medical equipment for children can be quite fun, almost in terms of the looks of it. You can get nebulizers now, like little penguins and silly little animals, so they're more like toys than they are something scary, like an adult nebulizer would be. How does King approach those breathing treatments with the nebulizer?
It really depends on his mood, but he seems to kind of enjoy playing with his mask that goes along with his nebulizer. It looks like a penguin, and he'll hold it up against his nose so that he can get those medications. He's not really scared of it. He also has a feeding tube that he's hooked up to at night for a 10-hour period. We found that we could not waste sleeping hours without him eating because he was having such a hard time digesting and retaining the nutrients throughout the day that were necessary for him to gain weight. And he has a really good time hooking up his feeding tube at night too, almost to the extent that I'm a little concerned when he gets in a big boy bed that he may have too much fun rolling that pole around in the evening. So he really approaches it with excitement and he's fine with it. But if he's in a particularly bad mood and not wanting to sit still for over an hour for his breathing treatment, he gets pretty upset and he'll fight us on it. But most of the time, he's pretty happy about it.
Does his sister interact with him while he's breathing through that mask?
She does. She started out about a year ago putting on shows for him because he was not as mobile. But now she'll sit with him and read him books and sit next to him and help him hold his mask and turn the machine on and off between medications. And then with his feeding tube, she actually helps us to prime the pump so that the formula can get into the bag. So she's figured out all of the equipment and how to manage it and help him out with that. And I think he takes her lead, too, the fact that she's not scared of what he's doing. She's very well educated on his disease and on his treatment, and that helps him a lot. He looks up to her more than anyone else.
That's pretty impressive for a child who's not quite five.
She is pretty impressive for a child that's not quite five. She attacks everything with such interest.
Quite often, children with a disability like cystic fibrosis can put a very big financial strain on a family. Financial hardships often lead to more personal problems between families and often divorce. Sadly, there are pretty high numbers of single-parent homes with disabled children because of the stress on the family. But your family seems to be embracing what is necessary to sustain the family, and you're doing it all together. Is it peaceful, fun, and happy all the time?
No, it actually is not peaceful, fun, and happy all the time. I think we put an emphasis on trying to make it that way, but we also realize the devastation that could come of ignoring what is actually happening in our home. So the first thing that we've tried to do in this last year is educate ourselves, educate our daughter, and even King. He's saying a lot of things, but he doesn't have a full vocabulary, of course, at the age of 22 months old. But we're very honest about what it is that we're going through. We think as a family that that's the best way to approach it. But one interesting thing is, I think when you have two parents in a home, you don't think exactly the same about every situation. And of course, with a chronic illness like cystic fibrosis, it's something that you're dealing with every single minute of every single day, day in and day out. So it brings up some things that are, you know, hot debates and that sort of thing. But we really try to hear one another out and just stay educated and stay in the fight. And we try to make it fun, but sometimes it is not.
It seems like you've got a big sister that cares a lot for her little brother.
She does. She's very invested in his health and his well-being. I think that Emma Virginia would have been that way about any sibling, but she is especially invested in King. And because she understands what it means that he has cystic fibrosis to the extent of the end stage that one day may be, she's really careful around him. She sanitizes her hand, and when she has a cold, she covers her mouth, and then she'll go sanitize her hands. And she's just careful to try to keep him as well as he possibly can be. And she's really controlling about his breathing treatments, because we've told her that as long as we work really hard to do his breathing treatments, we keep him healthy, that he has a much better chance of survival. So she's very careful about those things.
Last year when I talked to you, there was still, like you said, a lot of fear. This was still a relatively new thing for you. A year later, your child is progressing like a normal child in many ways. And the things you have to do, like you said, have become part of your normal routine. It's not as frightening because you know more. Knowledge is that power. But you're still dealing with a child you could lose at any bad cold.
That is absolutely right. I think that while you try to approach something with a really positive energy, it's important to recognize what it is that you're dealing with. I won't say that there's never a hard moment. There's never a scary moment. You know, there are things in his life that we feel like we're missing simply because we're fighting so hard with this disease. For instance, we made the decision to allow a feeding tube for him because we knew that he needed the nutrients. And once we realized that his lungs needed those nutrients and the other vital organs in his body, we knew that we really didn't have a choice and we could not stand in the way of his health. But at the same time, I would love to lay down with him at night, and I can't because he's hooked up to a feeding tube all night long. And yes, I could skip a night technically, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to interrupt his routine. And I know that by example, it's so important that we teach him that this is a daily battle. And as long as he is really focused on it, he can survive.
What community resources do you turn to?
We have a very supportive family. We have a really close network of friends The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation has a strong group of people in Chattanooga that work together on fundraisers. We have a board in Chattanooga that we rely on. And that's very helpful as long as the people around you are educated. And I think we put emphasis on helping the people around us be educated about this disease instead of sweeping it under the rug.
You and your family are going beyond just talking about it. You're involved in a partnership with Chattanooga State to make a film.
We are working with Chattanooga State to create a film about cystic fibrosis in Chattanooga. It focuses on different families at different stages of the disease, different ages of the disease. We're very lucky that they are giving us these resources, that they're helping us to create this film. It's not something financially that the foundation in Chattanooga would have been able to or willing to do. So it's pretty unique. It will look at different families, the way they approach the disease, the way they've had to handle the disease throughout life, their different treatments. And hopefully in the end, people will feel so much more educated about cystic fibrosis, and then they will be able to approach it as a community and really help us and support us to create better controls for the disease and eventually a cure.
There was a time in the not-too-distant past where infants with cystic fibrosis did not make it to their first birthday.
Yes, in the 1950s, children, a lot of them didn't even make it through elementary school. What we've seen since the 50s is that there are much better treatments, much better proactive things that families are doing to help their children live longer lives. What has happened in the last year is that a treatment has been brought to market. It's called Kalydeco. It focuses on one of the over 1,600 mutations of cystic fibrosis. It helps to correct the disease in that population of patients, which happens to only be 4%, which is a pretty small number when you look at 30,000 people in the U.S. that have cystic fibrosis and 70,000 worldwide. The hope there is that with the research that we work so very hard to fund, we can model other drugs to treat the other 96% of patients that are suffering from cystic fibrosis. What you see in that 4% is the devastation to their bodies is not reversed, but it's stopping the devastation. So those patients will live much, much longer than the average lifespan, which is right now in the mid-30s. Too young for any of these people that have cystic fibrosis.
The film that you're working on with Chattanooga State is going to be revealed at the annual fundraiser, The Three Blind Wines. When will this come up?
November 14th is when we're having Three Blind Wines this year. It will be at Stratton Hall, a fabulous event. We actually have had such success with the event that we've had to remodel our blind wine tasting to a degree. Last year, it took us such great energy to get all of the wine blinded for our sellout event that we are not blinding it this year, but Rosie Von Cannon of the wine shop at Enzo's Market is leading our wine tasting, and she's bringing all of her wine distributor friends who are so knowledgeable about tasting. So we will have 8 varietal tables. At each of those tables, you can taste the wines and vote on your favorite at that table. And then those 8 winners will be put into a hat for a blind drawing. 3 of them will win a third of the cellar. So we've changed that event just a little bit because of the huge success that we've had.
If you wanted to purchase a ticket in advance, how would you do that?
You can go online, tennessee.cff.org/threeblindwines, and they would bring 2 bottles of identical wine, one going into the cellar and one going out for tasting.
Three Blind Wines is a fundraiser for the Tennessee chapter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. The event will be held November 14th at Stratton Hall, downtown Chattanooga. More details can be found online at tennessee.cff.org. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.